I'd like Richard and Debbie just to come. Because this is a day of rejoicing, but it's also a day of saying farewell. God is leading you and guiding you into new pastures. And it was just, we shared a lovely time of fellowship as they just shared their hearts. Fill us in. What are you doing? What are you doing?
First and foremost, before we tell you what we're doing and what's been, we just need to say thank you for the time that we've been here. First and foremost, because just listening to everyone talking about Jill and how she has been, it's the same experience for me as well, Jill. When I came here, that you came and I came very much the same. I came in and saw you kind of at the door and saw the real family and communion in this church. And I wanted to say thank you guys, because you really made our family very welcome when we came. So same thing with Pastor Glenn. It's always been easy to come and talk to him about anything, and being part of the worship team as well for me has also been a blessing. Going through the whole season of COVID, that was a really difficult season for a lot of us, I know. But it also was a challenge for the worship team as we kind of transitioned, trying to figure out how we were going to continue the worship for and continue services through that season. And I learned a lot. I learned a lot, and I gelled a lot with the team, and it was a good experience for me and the family, because we all kind of got involved in various aspects of it. But what God has done now is God has really just challenged Debbie and myself. We're at a stage now where God is really speaking to our hearts about service, really. Really being led to go somewhere to start up. It's a start-up church. So what God is really challenging us to come out of our comfort zones. And one of the things that God has been really kind of challenging my heart, it's easy to kind of do the norm of church and go through the routines of church. But what God is really doing is challenging us to come out of our comfort zones and really just be listening to what God wants us to serve and how he wants us to serve. And it's not in the way that we, I guess, traditionally will think about it. God is really stirring up that part in our hearts to kind of go out and serve now. I'm going to hand over to Debbie for a minute to let you say a little bit more on that one.
So a few months ago, actually, God's been talking to me about service for a long time. And it's just been this question of, okay, Lord, how? The Lord, we how to make this really concise? It's really been the move of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Really has been him. We've had a friend who has died recently, and one of the things that he would say is, he would just do this. He would always give God glory. Always, always in everything. And the Holy Spirit has been taking us to different levels in worship. He's been taking us to different levels in hearing his voice. And he's been taking us to different levels in terms of obedience. And where the Lord has taken us, we originally were living in Dagenham, and he's taken us back to a start-up church in Dagenham to do whatever he wants us to do in that community. Haven't got the details. We're just following Holy Spirit. And I think what such a joy is, as you go deeper with the Holy Spirit, and I really want to encourage everyone here, get deeper with the Holy Spirit. Really start spending some time talking to him and waiting him to speak back to you. And let him speak to you and whisper to your souls about, and your spirits about, what he wants you to do. What he has been teaching me is that service is a gateway. And I really want to encourage everyone here, step up and serve. Doesn't matter whether you know what you should be doing, step up and serve, and the Holy Spirit will work through you. He will grow you, he will stretch you, and your relationship with him will be so enriched. And that's what he's done in our lives and he's doing in our lives. So I really just want to encourage you, church, step up. Step up and serve the church that the Lord has planted you in. Step up. The kingdom needs you. It's not about the day in and the day out, the coming to church and doing the same old, same old. Holy Spirit wants us to be a people who change and move with him. And that's what I really want to encourage you about, because that's what this move has done for us.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, personally, it's always great when folks, because, you know, church life, and particularly after COVID, there's been a lot of movement of Christians around churches. And it's as if God's, you know, not that wasn't a surprise to God. And so it's as if God's blown it all up. It's all settling down. And we've benefited from so many new people coming here. But also there's been some from here who've gone elsewhere. And that's okay, as long as they are with the Lord. Amen? And are following what God's saying. And so I always prefer if someone comes and say, you know, Pastor, I think it's time that we moved on. I said, well, yeah, let's tell me about it. And on this case, I sense calling. And I'm going to mention a little bit about calling afterwards. A little bit about calling. And I sense a little touch of that for this couple. Because going in a smaller church, which this was, you know, there's only 25 people here, it's a different ball game, but it's also a great game. And you'll be part of a fellowship, giving your support, and there's nowhere to hide. In a small fellowship, in a startup, there's nowhere to hide, and it expands you. So shall we pray and ask God's blessing upon them, upon their family? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for 7 years here at Romford Elim Church, Lord God, for Richard and for Debbie and for their children, and we commit them into your hands, as has been mentioned already, for this next phase in their lives. And Heavenly Father, I thank you that they are seeking to follow your call. And I pray that where their feet land, they will prosper. The fellowship will prosper. The work of the Lord will prosper. And we pray that, Heavenly Father, that fellowship will grow. That fellowship will reach unsaved people. And gracious Heavenly Father, it will be another extension of your kingdom. And so, Lord, I pray, where you declare that you are Jehovah Jireh, we've recognized who you are, our provider. Please provide for them. And provide, Lord God, all that is needed as they are part of the jigsaw puzzle that you are building in Dagenham. Bring those pieces together. And Lord, yes, maybe they be stretched, may they be expanded, but also, Lord God, may they be released into new avenues that even they will be surprised at. Bless their children. For Chris and Abby, we pray you have your hand upon them, and may the parents' desires of the heart for their kids, may they see it fulfilled with their own eyes. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. The Lord bless you and go before you. Amen. So, what's going on? So they'll be around, obviously, as we're mingling afterwards with food and stuff. So please, you know, make sure you... who's that for? For Jill? I've never had a flowers given to... What's this? Oh, thank you very much. Oh, thank you very much. I'm going to leave it right here. Praise God. I was working on what to preach on this morning, and I struggled because I thought I knew had a little inkling. I didn't want to know what Chris was up to, but I had a little inkling that something was going to be happening, therefore I found it quite difficult. And then I realized, well, it's actually... maybe it is Jill's day. So I'm going to do a sermon with Jill, but the only thing is she doesn't know it.
Surprise,
Yeah. I think, and calling is what was going through my mind. And I think it would be good just to share about calling, because it's important. It's been important in our lives, the call of God. And it's important, actually, for all of us. Obviously, for Richard and for Debbie, they're seeking to follow the call where God is leading them, and have shared their heart with us on that, and that's great. But they're not the only ones. And calling isn't necessarily about being a pastor or being a church leader even, or being, it's whatever God wants you to minister in, and wherever that is, yeah? And for the majority, it's in the workplace. It's where you work. It's in your neighborhood. It's with your family. Those are the important areas. But there are other areas. Nothing is insignificant, because God will not judge you if your calling is to be a light that shines in the office where you are and build your career. God's not going to judge you by saying you didn't become a pastor. He'll be judging you, I wanted you in those places. And if you did that, you will receive your reward. If he has called you to be a pastor, then you'll receive your reward in that avenue. But we're not all called to be pastors, are we? We're not all called to be in the office. We could be on the shop floor. We could be whatever. So, yeah. So, Jill, come and join me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I thought it would be good just to share our journey this morning. Our journey this morning. And I think it's good to start with, because this has happened a few times, just to call upon the family again, which they don't expect. So she mentioned three girls. So if you could stand, ladies, please. Because sometimes folks don't realize the connections, because they don't come up to the front. Jill's not at the front that often and stuff. But there we have Hannah, Sarah, and Rachel. Amen. And Sarah is married to Julian, who for his sins is a Man United supporter. but not today. and little Gabriella, who is normally in the Sunday school. So thank you. You can relax now. But it's good that folks can match up. Sometimes you don't know who's who when you come in and you don't know. So let's start from the beginning, Jill. How did you become a Christian?
I grew up in Leeds, there's a church in Leeds called Bridge Street Church, and they used to send buses. I lived on a nice council estate then, and they used to send buses around these streets on a Sunday, and on a Wednesday for Sunday school, and Wednesday Sunshine Corner. And it was this really old couple that used to do Sunshine Corner on a Wednesday, but I used to go along with my sister. My family weren't Christians at all, but we used to get on this bus and go along on Sundays and Wednesdays to Bridge Street Church. A lot of people really took interest in us, the young people. Christmas and things, we get Christmas gifts. Sunday school, we get books and that, for attending, we get prizes and things, so we loved it. But then I just carried on going. I joined a little choir. The couple that ran the Sunshine Corner ran a choir as well. We used to wear this white fluffy hats with a false rose in it, but it was just the bee's knees then, but we loved it. But at 14, my dad died when I was 12. At the age of 14, I went along to I think it was Bognor or Clacton, I can't remember. It might have been Bognor, to the Elim conference, and there was a guy there called Paul Walker. He was a speaker from Atlanta, Georgia, but he was brilliant, and it was there at the conference that I gave my life to Christ at the age of 14.
Okay, amen. So, some important keys, you know, when it comes to, to people coming to the Lord, reaching out into the community, you know, bussing people in. It's not new. It was happening back then, and thank God it was just a couple, wasn't it? And his wife, and they used to go up onto estates with a sketchboard, and just on the green in Belle Isle, they used to just do stuff and then invite kids down to church. And, you know, praise God, they were just doing their bit. But it led to Jill coming to Bridge Street and, coming to know the Lord. It still works today. It still works today with people where they are sharing Jesus, their passion, their love for him with others. And bribery continues to work. We always offer sweets. We always offer stuff to kids coming in. No. So you came down to Bridge Street. You now knew the Lord. And what was, having arrived at church as a young person, was there a youth group or...
Yes, there was a youth group, and eventually I went on to the youth leadership along with Glenn. Actually, he got saved and came into the church, and we both served on the youth leadership, and Glenn actually then took the youth on. We grew that to about over 100 young people. It was brilliant, great times in there, and a lot of the young people went into full-time ministry and things as well. So, yeah, I served along in the youth group, loved it.
So, again, on that team, there was Steve... Steve Riley, Andy Lancaster. Andy was the son of John Lancaster, who was the minister at the church, who started there as I arrived. The first day that I arrived in that church, he started as the next minister. And so for 5 years, he was a father figure to me. Or to us, really, and to all the young people. But we had an amazing youth leader called Chris and his wife, Anne, who were, I can't give enough superlatives. They just loved Jesus, and they loved young people. And they poured everything into us. They poured time, people around at their house all the time. They poured money. They actually persuaded, this is back in, this is back in 1980, they actually persuaded the church board to send the whole of the youth team to Wiesbaden in Germany to Teen Challenge Europe, the headquarters. And we went on a week's course, and Teen Challenge, if you don't know, is a ministry that deals with anybody with life-controlling problems. But they deal with those problems through the power of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. No drugs, no nothing. And so we went there for a week, and it was transforming. It was transforming. This is all news to me, And when we came back, as Jules said, the youth group just flourished. Became the youth leader, following on from Chris. And, yeah, Steve Riley's now the minister there at Leeds. So is Andy Lancaster. Nigel and Pearl were the first of our grouping to leave and go on to serve in Wales in the Ealing movement there. John and Sandra, they went into ministry as well with Ealing and ended up in Derby and stuff. They're back in Leeds now. Dave and Karen. Oh, yeah, Dave and Karen were actually the first to go of the young people in the group. And they went and they served in Halifax, Ealing, and then Jeff, he moved on, but bless him, he went to AOG, bless him. So all of them ended up serving as ministers, and that we put down to the Lord and to Chris, and that's the value of someone who loves the Lord, and who has a vision for what God can do through young people. And that passion, obviously, that's what we grew up with for young people. That's what happened. Now, what was the next phase? Because we didn't stay there. In 1988, something happened.
Yes, so I obviously got to know Glenn. We got married.
We missed that bit out. That's for another time. That's for another time.
We got married and we went off to Bible college for 3 years. Glenn studied. Everybody thinks I'm really theology and everything. I worked to support through the 3 years to pay our fees and everything. We sold our house, moved to Bible college. I remember the first day there and we got a little room given, and I just cried and wanted to go back home. It was literally a room with a double bed and a bookcase and a desk in it. But we loved Bible college. We spent 3 years there, and then Ilford wanted black mint.
Well, hang on.
Sorry, am I jumping?
Let's rewind. Let's just rewind there, because so those 3 years, yeah. So I studied, and we're quite strong on this. Is if you are a married couple, it's different from being a single person. If you get the call of God to do whatever you got to do, it's important that if you're a married couple, that you both get the call. The call wasn't just for me to go to Bible college. It was our call. And so I actually got it in Switzerland, taking a youth team over there on a mission. And it was a fantastic mission. And when they finished there, they said, stay. And I couldn't believe they were saying it to me. Stay. I said, well, because I was just doing youth in that sense. But it was the first, and I said it to the young people lots of times, if God speaks, listen to him, and he can use you. But it was then that I realized that he really can use you, because it was a different country, different language, blah, 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 and yet they wanted me to stay. So only thing was, Jill wasn't on that mission, but I felt the call, I think we need to go to Bible college. So when we came back, I had to broach the topic with Jill. And so when I came back, can you remember what I said? I said, how do you see our future? How do you see our future? And what did you say?
When I was in the youth, I was on the, I took on the missions side of it. I really had a heart for missions and that. So I actually thought we'd be missionaries. We'd end up going somewhere and working as a missionary. And then I think that's what I said to you.
Yeah, that's right. And I which was, I was surprised. Because the youth group was quite large, so she was the mission secretary for the youth group. And she'd been to Switzerland, to Lausanne, for the annual Pentecostal conference. And we had this Swiss connection in our calling, and we thought maybe it was to Switzerland. Never dreaming it would be Romford. but God has his ways, amen? And so we went to Bible college, but we both felt the call. However, I did the studying, but Jill did the important part, because, you know, having sold the house and then all the money would go into paying the fees over 3 years, we still had to have some income. And so Jill worked. So what did you work as over those 3 years?
In the first year, I worked in the kitchen. Spent many days coming home crying to my room. But no, it was, we had this really temperamental chef. He wasn't a Christian, but he was great. We loved him. And that was the first year. The second year, we lived in blocks, houses, the students. And I was a house mum for one of the blocks. I used to clean the blocks, clean the toilets, and just keep the houses nice. And I'm quite well known for being tidy and clean and everything, so I loved that. And then my last year, I took on the laundry. So I used to do everybody's bedding. I washed every day. You go to different places, pick all the bedding, and did all the washing of the bedding. And there was a conference centre there as well, so I'd be washing and ironing all the bed sheets. But I loved it. Absolutely loved our time in college. There was a language student there, one of our best friends, from Switzerland, a couple. But absolutely loved Bible college.
Yeah, and the friendships that we formed there in those 3 years, they're still there, even though we don't see each other. You know, if we meet each other at conference, at the Elim conference, it's as if the years just stripped by, because we spent a lot of time together. So Jill's part, absolutely. So you see why it's important that when you get a call as a couple, you need, it's not just one, it's a couple. You can't do one without the other. And if Jill didn't feel the call, then we wouldn't have gone. And she did all the graft work in that sense. And then came to the end of those 3 years. You were about to say that. Jill was pregnant. But that didn't quite go according to plan.
It was April. We were due to leave college in, I think it was June. We're going to start in September. We'd been invited to join the team in Ilford. They needed a black youth pastor. So they called us. We went to work with Barry Keller. But in the July, I was 8.5 months pregnant. And there was just one day when I just couldn't feel any movement. They took me in Scanby, and I had a stillbirth a couple of weeks to go before she was born. So I gave birth to our little baby Emma. Had a little funeral for her and everything. So that was a tough time. We were still in college. I think there was about 9 babies born around that time. So it was a really, really tough time, just seeing everybody with their babies. But God's been good, and I've got my 3 beautiful girls there, so God has been. And that's what I mean. The goodness of God over the years is just, he's good. Mm-hmm. I've proved him.
Yeah. We got posted to Wilford after the 3 years. We actually did say, Lord, where do you want us to go? We don't want to go to London. We don't want to go to Birmingham. We don't want to go to Liverpool.
I think it was Scotland.
We had all these, but God in his wisdom sent us to Ilford. It was actually, it was a mixed couple that they wanted. They did want a minister because it was a very mixed church, but to have a mixed couple was ideal. It was ideal because it crossed the church. We landed there, and we absolutely loved it. Responsible for youth, that's where we met Helen, a precocious young woman. but she grew through the youth group, and it was just a really blessed time, wasn't it? Absolutely amazing time, and the youth group flourished there. And then we felt that we were asked, would you consider Romford? Because Romford had gone through a split and needed something, or else it would close. So we felt it was right, and it wasn't our background, because Leeds was a large church, Ilford was a large church, but we really felt, and when we came and had the interview here, we really felt, hey, these folks, they've been through so much, but yet they've still got faith, because they said, we can't afford to pay you, but we want to pay you whatever you were on at Ilford. Because with Elim, ministers don't get paid unless the church can afford to pay them. There's no central pot, so you go in faith. And so we were fully expecting, when we were told about the circumstance of Romford, that I would be going out to work, as well as Jill working in a school job when she eventually got one after the girls grew up a bit. So I was expecting to go to work, but they said, we've got enough money to pay you for a year, but then that's it. And to us, that was a great step of faith, because we weren't expecting that. They did, and it went on all right. Praise God. So it just continued from there. So we came to Romford. And in Romford, we've been here now, and we will be here in September, this September, for 25 years. 1998, that was. 1998. Now, why I say all that is just to get a little bit of inkling of Jill's function. She's always been the grafter, always been the supplier. And what would be nice is, if it works, we'll try and see if we can get it. There was a 20-minute documentary from Anglia TV when we came out of college. They were doing a thing called the Curate's Egg. And the Curate's Egg was ministers going to their first post and how they did in their first post on arrival. And they heard about us. They'd got something from the Baptist, something from the Anglican, something from the Catholic, and they wanted a Pentecostal. So they came to the college, and they chose us. And so when we arrived at Ilford, they followed us around for a little while, taking films and stuff. So we've still got that. Would you like to see it?
Yes.
Yeah? We've still got that. So maybe for the 25th, we might show that in the service. It's not too long. That would be quite interesting. I had hair then. Well, a little bit of hair left, but yeah, that would be quite interesting. But why I was saying all this is, Jill's function has always been grafting, has always been looking after. You know, she's been cleaning the church, Wheatsheaf Road now, I don't know how long, a long time. It wasn't all that time, but if not, it's always in the background, always the cooking, the men's breakfast, the ladies' breakfast, all that kind of stuff. That's where Jill has always been serving. I know that when Joy came here, that was one of the reasons she stayed, the pastor's wife doing all this practical stuff without even being seen. That's your testimony, being who you are, being who you are. And so whatever you see at the front, be assured that it's not possible unless there's a background going on. Amen? And I'm praying, I want to end by praying for each and every one of us here. Because how many here know that you've been called? Because as soon as you say the word called, people think of pastoring, evangelist, prophet. They think of big things. But actually, scripturally, the moment that you meet Jesus, you've been called. You've been called. Because God is the one who takes the initiative. He's our creator. It tells us in Romans chapter 1 that people are without excuse. Oh, yeah. People are without excuse. Don't worry if you think, oh, well, is it fair that some might not have heard about the gospel? You know, would they go to hell if they haven't heard? It's not been. No. It says there, people are without excuse because from what has been made, the voice of God can be heard. And that's true because if you look across the world, people are worshiping something. Unfortunately, they decide to worship animals or the sun or the moon or whatever. And they have had their faith shifted from the person who actually created to created things. And that's what Romans was talking about in Romans chapter 1. So they're without excuse because the voice of God can be heard. It's always God who takes the initiative. He created us, amen? He created us, he's taking the initiative, and his voice is going out all the time. And so we have a conscience. It's the voice of God. We know really what is right and wrong, generally speaking, but we choose to do wrong. We choose. God is speaking all the time, so we are without excuse. But he also speaks with a still small voice. He also speaks through the thunder and the rain. He also speaks through the storm in people's lives. There's all kinds of stuff that happens in life which makes a person think about God at some point in time. And ultimately, death makes people think about God. The voice of God is going out all the time. And therefore, it's us who responds to his voice. That is the call. And we become Christians when we say yes to that voice. And we yield. Having become Christians, and therefore that's why I say all of us have been called who know Jesus. And then having become Christians, there's sometimes a specific call, either for now, for a short time, or for a long period of time. You know, for you two, Rich and Debbie, it was for 7 years here. Now there's another call. It's the next phase. For us, it's been pastoring and youth, well, since I was 19. That's all I've known. What is your call? And so I'm going to, as we conclude, I want to pray that you'll just have a sense that you are significant and that you have a part to play in the kingdom, not just in Romford Ealing, in the kingdom. And that you will you will be able to follow that call, whether it be a short-term one, whether it be a longer-term one, or whether it be a really long-term one, whatever it is that God calls. So let's come to prayer. What I'd like you to do is just link up with someone next to you, around you. It can be a family. If someone you don't know, don't worry. And I want you to pray a very simple prayer for that person. And I want us to pray. I'll be praying out loud over everyone, but I want you to pray the very best for that person. And that person will know the call of God upon their lives, and that they will be willing to respond when God says whatever. And if he says go, to go. If he says stay here, to stay here. If he says to serve in this way or to serve in that way, that we'll be willing to say yes. Because ultimately, have we had a good life, Jill? It's been great. It's been great. And it's because it's in the will of God, responding to his call. So let's pray. And as I pray out loud, you just pray with someone next to you. If you don't know them, say, hey, what's your name? And ask God's blessing, the call of God upon their lives, and that they will respond to that call. It's exciting when God calls and leads you into the next phase. So let's do it. Father, I thank you and praise you for this congregation, all who are gathered here this morning. And I pray the blessing of God over them. And I ask, Lord God, for that specific call. I thank you for the calling of knowing you as Lord and Savior. And now I pray for specific calls, Lord, that will release people. And if they're not clear, that they'll just get up and serve, get on the move, so that you can steer them into your next port of call. I pray over you in Jesus' name. The call of God. It's a wonderful thing to hear God's voice, to receive his prompting, either inside or as an audible voice. And I pray that over you in Jesus' name. And I pray that from this congregation, yes, you will raise up pastors. Yes, you will raise up evangelists. Yes, you will raise up missionaries in foreign fields. Yes, you will send people to other cities. Yes, you will send people into their workplace with a new sense of calling, with a new sense of, wow, this is where Jesus wants me to shine. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, expand us. Enrich us and empower us by your Spirit so that we can and will fulfill the call of God in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. And all God's people said, Amen. 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 Well, thank you so much. It's been a different time this morning, but thank you for being such a blessing for Jill, and that's warmed my heart, and I know it's blessed her. So, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us now, yeah? And may we enjoy the food that's been prepared and be blessed together. Don't rush away if you're here for the first time. If you want to know more, then make sure you get a welcome pack from one of the ushers or see myself, any of those who have been up at the front, and we'd be delighted to just have a chat with you. If you want to know Jesus, the same thing as well. God bless you.